The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Clean and Sober Radio. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, what do we have this week?
I actually have some fantastic news. New data has come in from the U.S. Department of Disease, Center for Diseases, and it shows an actual large drop in overdose deaths. They're seeing a 10.6% reversal. In prior years, fatal overdoses increased by double-digit percentages in some states. You're also seeing in some states a 20 to 30% drop. What they're thinking is the wide availability of naloxone, and they're also thinking the end of the pandemic. But it was very unexpected because every year you're just seeing it going up, and it's finally the tide is turning.
Well, that's fantastic news, Mark.
It really is. I mean, every time we've talked about fentanyl on this show, it's always been just bad news after bad news. And I think the message is finally getting out there. And I think this, you know, the fact that all the cops are carrying Narcan and, right. and it's all over the place now.
And probably education.
Education.
Yeah.
Yes.
What else you got?
Secondly, Australian police said Thursday that they had busted a drug trafficking ring dubbed the Commission. The ring brought in more than a ton of cocaine over the last few months in Australia. And get this, it was estimated that the amount of cocaine that was brought in was worth $1 billion.
Can you imagine being the guy that controlled that and he finds out that he's going to lose $1 billion?
$1 billion. Six men ages 25 to 34 were arrested. They also retrieved and seized 10 cars, $800,000 in cash, a Rolex watch, four guns, and 12 kilograms of cocaine during the raid. But this was a major, major bust,
yeah,
Gary.
That's amazing. I wonder how they find out these things, the intel for law enforcement to find out that somebody's snitching on somebody. Probably to get out of a legal jam.
Yeah, I bet you that's it.
you know?
But good news, though.
Absolutely. Mark, can you imagine being on the streets of Philadelphia for like 10, 15 years and then being an inmate or just arrested over 40 times? Can you imagine that life? That makes our story seem like Disneyland. Well, let me tell you
something. Well, maybe not yours, but
our guest, Jackie Phoebus, is with us, and she is going to, when we come back, she's going to tell us what that nightmare was actually like. And we'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, do you see your addiction to drugs or alcohol staring back at you? At Gaudenzia, in that mirror, we see you, healthy and at peace. At Gaudenzia, we see the tools you can use to recover the life you want to live. Hope is in the effective treatment we can offer, designed uniquely for you. Your hope is waiting at Gaudenzia. Call 833-976-4357. 833-976-4357. Through Gaudenzia, you can recover your life. Begin today.
Hey, man, this is Ricky Bird, former member of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, an inductee to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as of 2015. And I listen to Clean and Sober Radio, and so do my friends here, right?
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
You can enjoy this show anywhere in the world, but let me tell you, you can listen in the United States on WWDB in Philadelphia, 97.5 FM HD2 in Philadelphia, and then if you go a little bit of south to Augusta, Georgia, WGAC, and south of that, Tampa, Florida, WNBR.
One, two, pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice.
Welcome back, everybody. That song, Mark, just takes me back.
We need to put up black lights.
And strobe lights.
And strobe lights. And burn incense. When we hear that song.
You'll take that to management.
Yeah, I don't think it would work.
And see how that works. Before we announce our guest, and we're so glad she's coming back for a second time. You know, a lot of us in recovery, we feel like there's nothing to do on the weekends. But let me tell you this. For music fans, Clean and Sober Radio invites you to see two great bands this weekend, September 21st, at the Rotunda in Philadelphia, which is at 4014 Walnut Street in Philadelphia. The two bands are Flux Capacitor and The Adventures of Black Matt. It sounds like a great show, but it's something to do. It's an alcohol-free venue. It's the Rotunda, 4014 Walnut Street. For tickets and more information, please visit CircleDConcerts.com. So that's something to do this weekend. Okay, the star of the show today is Jackie Phoebus. Jackie, welcome back to the show.
Welcome back. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You have such an incredible story. You know, living on the streets, I don't know if I could do it for a weekend, seriously, or being locked up or arrested 40 times. When did this happen? Why did it happen? How did you get clean? The whole bit. Let's hear it.
All right. I really started using probably when I was 14, but the D part didn't happen until I was 30. I left my husband, and I started messing with this guy, and he was addicted to perks, and I took on his addiction. And that led me to heroin eventually. Oh, sorry. within a year of doing heroin, I had sold all the furniture out of my house.
Wait, your house or your parents' house?
My house. I had a little house in Cherry Hill, a little rancher. No, not at 14. Oh, I'm sorry. So the bad stuff didn't happen until I was 30.
Okay.
I started doing perks when I was 30.
All right, back it up.
Yeah.
Tell us what kind of family you came from. What kind of support or not support when you started? I mean, before the drugs, all of us had some weird behaviors. I'm sure of that.
My addiction was prevalent before I ever put a drug in my body, right? I felt like I was unloved and unlovable. I felt like I didn't fit in. So I gravitated, like, towards the older crowd, the people that were drinking, smoking. So I was doing all that by the time I was 14. But I lived, like, a normal life, like, went through school, got good grades. You know, mom and dad in the house. It looked all good and fuzzy on the outside, right? But my dad's an addict, just like I was. Oh. He's now, alcohol is his drug of choice. And I moved out on my 18th birthday because I couldn't take it in the house. But so I was living life like I was an adult when I was a teenager. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I was out on my own at 18, had a full-time job, car note, a jet ski loan, like all that. Had my kids fairly young. But I was always using in some form, whether I was drinking, smoking weed, I was on Xanax. I was an, what do they call that? A functioning addict. I didn't know. I didn't realize I was using something to get me through every day. And how about this? I was also using men. I did not feel like I was whole if I did not have a partner in my life.
You're a prostitute? I said, were you, not are you?
No, not at that point.
Okay.
I was never a prostitute in that sense of the word, but if I look back at it now throughout my addiction, I was certainly with men I otherwise would not have been with if they weren't supporting my habit.
Sure.
And toxic, abusive relationships that I would never have allowed for myself had I not needed the drugs they were providing me with. And had I not had that just absolute lack of love for myself, I really firmly believe all of this stemmed from that just lack of something inside. Like, I, like my kids, I could not and would not stay clean for my children. And I loved them like no kind of love I'd ever felt in my life.
Well, that shows you how powerful an addiction is,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, because I would not stay clean for them because I didn't love Jackie. Yeah. I loved them, but I didn't care what happened to me.
And so how old were you when you had your kids?
I was 20 when I got pregnant with Danielle, 21 when I had her, and then I had Joey 5 years later.
So I was going to ask you if your parents were supportive of you even during your addiction, but your dad was an addict.
Right.
What about your mother?
My mother is my biggest cheerleader. I love you, Mom.
Fantastic.
But guess what? And she didn't know it at the time, but she figured it out quick. In the beginning, she was also my enabler because I would call her crying. I'm dope sick and I'm going to go rob a bank if you don't give me money. And she's a mom, right? Like your kid is suffering, you're going to bring the money.
Yeah.
You know, but then one day she just told me, she said, if you need food, I will buy you food. If it's cold out and you need me to get you a hotel room, I'll get you a hotel room, but I will no longer put cash in your hands.
Were you allowed to be at your parents' house?
No.
Mark, you know how difficult that decision is? I mean, you know, people say, oh, throw the kid out. I'll tell you something. You know, I had my issues with the kids. I don't know if I could have done that.
Right. You know what? At that time, I had my two younger brothers. She had to worry about all that too. Yeah. But when I got older and she had left my dad and I was on the methadone clinic, then she had me come back and stay with her for a while until I got myself back on my feet. So when I say she was my mom is absolutely my big, I would be dead. And I believe that if it wasn't for my mother. Yeah.
Is your dad still alive?
Yes. Yes.
Is he in your life?
A little bit.
Is he clean? Is he jealous of you?
You know, I don't know. At one point, I'd gone away into a rehab to get clean. Well, a detox. It was like 5 days. And they let me come stay with them briefly. So I'm sitting there one night, and he called the cops. And me and my mom and my brothers were like, why are you calling the cops? He said, because she's high, and I was not at the time. And the cop came in and he was like, yeah, I want her out of here because I think she's high. And the cop looked at me and he looked at my dad. He was like, yeah, I think I know what I'm talking about more than you do. And she's good. He said, but you, on the other hand, you're drunk. Wow. And he said to me and my mom and my brothers, I will remove him. But we were terrified. We were like, no. And I left. I left that night and I went and moved in with some people I was in NA with and I never went back. And she left him shortly thereafter. She said, you've chased my last child out of this house. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you were incarcerated 40 times.
Yes.
Were you on probation for these things or on parole or what?
I was on probation 3 times. So when I say 40 times, that's like in and out, extended stays, the whole nine yards. I was... The first big drug charge I ever got caught with was 13 bags of heroin. And I had never been in trouble before. And I went to jail overnight. I called my mom sobbing. I said, I am in jail with drug addicts and hookers and I don't belong here. Come get me. But my charge was 13 bags of heroin. And I did not tell her. I lied, forgetting that my uncle is a cop. And she found out the next day. But I got put on a probation for 2 years for that charge.
So you had to be careful during those 2 years.
Oh, I ran. I ran for 2 years. I'd never reported the probation.
So what
I
happened?
I ran. So I said I'd left the house because of my dad.
Yeah.
And I moved in with these people in NA. And, you know, they tell us, like, you're a newcomer. Don't get in a relationship for the first year. Now, we're talking 23 years ago, the first time I came around, and I did not listen, and I got in a relationship, and me and him went out. So we were just running the streets, and—
But weren't there had to be warrants out for
me. Oh, there were mad warrants out for me. I was very good at hiding, but he got really sick, and I had to put him in the hospital. I found out after the fact he had pancreatic cancer. Uh-huh. So now I'm trying to run from the sheriffs. They're looking for me. I'm waitressing— cop and dope, visiting the boyfriend in the hospital, getting up, running from the cops, waitressing. It was just this thing. And one morning I was just so tired and I like wasn't on my A game and I walked right in front of the sheriff's car and they got me. And then when I got out of 7-day lock, I called my mother and she told my boyfriend had died. I was in jail. Yeah. And I used that. I used that as an excuse to run for years. So I took drug court to get out of jail so I could bury him. And then I violated drug court 3 times in 1 month. So they kicked me off of drug court, and I did my time and got back out and just
kept going. Did you do any state time?
No.
County?
No. All county. Never made it to state. No.
That's good. Listen, if you're just joining us now, we have an incredible guest. Jackie Phoebus is with us. A tale of horror, and we're going to learn how she got clean, because she did. And, you know, Mark, you and I know we've had hundreds and hundreds of guests here. We can get clean.
It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing just to see this, that some people lose hope. You know, I see that as a therapist where they think, well, I've tried this so many times and I can't get it. And I'll tell you, I've seen so many times where somebody ends up getting it, they just keep going. And that's been your story, Jackie. It's been like that resilience and just keeping on going at it. You know, working a recovery program.
Did you ever spent one night on the streets? One night.
Well, that's a tricky question. I did spend a couple nights in Montana homeless. It was a very long story, which I can't get on the radio with. And I ended up breaking into a cabin and staying there for a couple days.
Brad, are you listening? And
we can't even go there. This would be an hour story, Gary. But it wasn't exactly homeless in Camden. You know, the only thing I was worried, well, there was a guy chasing me. But it was a long story, and this is about Jackie. So maybe we could do a show on
that's
that
fine. I am picturing,
yeah.
You know, we both did a lot of bad stuff. I'm picturing a life over years of incarceration, street. You're like really lucky, you know?
I know.
And I know that you do so many good things for so many people. I mean, our phone is jammed up right now and everything else, because there's so many people out there that respect you. And that was one of the things, getting respect after being for all of us.
Yes.
And because people don't let go a lot of times. Mm-hmm. But it seems like you have earned the respect of a whole community. That's really good stuff.
Thank you. Do you have any
siblings?
Yes. My sister passed away as a direct result of this disease. And I have 2 younger brothers, Michael and Anthony, who I love.
How are they?
They are wonderful. It's weird. Like, me and my sister got affected by the disease of addiction, and they went the complete other way.
Yeah.
My youngest brother is a lawyer, and my other brother is a professor, and they're both fantastic, and I'm so proud of both of them.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know? So, when you were growing up, you must have had friends at a certain age that were, I don't want to say normal, but they were kids. Maybe they experimented with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like the three of us, we couldn't stop taking the drugs. When everybody else could stop and go home, we kept going.
That's right.
Were you excluded from a group of friends in let's say, in school? Like, Jackie, she's no – stay away from her. The parents telling the kids, stay away from this girl.
Yep. So I lived in this development in Williamstown, and there was this pond. And the parents called the kids that hung out there the pond dwellers. And they warned their children, like, stay away from them. And my mom used to tell me, don't hang out with them. And I'm sitting there like, they're my friends. Like, she didn't know. And then one day she was driving her car, and she saw me and this girl, Barbara, walking down the street. And it hit her like, oh, God, she is one of them. And she leaped out of the car. She was like, get in this car. Yeah, but it was too late. That was my thing. That's where I found my clique. And the girls that I had been friends with previous to that, they wanted nothing. It was like they would catch something if they were hanging out with me. But that was just where I felt accepted for the first time, or felt like I fit in. Because I'll tell you, when I drank and smoked weed, I was able to talk. I was able to... I felt like I didn't know how to be a person without something in my body. And I carried that into my adult life. Like, I got to take a Xanax so I can go to work and I can talk to people. Like, I just didn't know how to be a person. And I just didn't realize it was because, like, I just didn't have any self-assurance. I didn't have any self-esteem, no love for myself, and that carried into my adult life. Yes.
We have a caller on the line. Leslie, welcome to Clean and Sober Radio.
Hello.
Hello, Leslie.
I just wanted to say how much I admire your speaker and her longevity and what she gives back to the community. She's a super strong warrior and helps women in all phases of sobriety and their clean journeys. But she has especially helped me. I'm kind of wet behind the ears. I only have 18 months as of the day before yesterday.
Congratulations.
She has been a superpower for me. And I guess one of my questions for her was, at what point did you really realize or feel like you were gaining your power back? Like, about how far in your journey?
Honestly, like 2 years ago. Step work. I had to do step work. Like, I had to write about it and put it on paper and like feel those emotions and finally believe. I had to believe that I was worthy of this because I didn't believe I was worthy of anything for a really long time. Does that make sense?
Yes, I can relate to that because I'm just now regaining self-worth and self-confidence, and it's really propelling my growth.
That's great.
And admiring people like you and following people like you as my mentors and my guides has helped me so much. I'm so emotional about it because I'm so proud of you.
Oh, honey, and I am so proud of you. I love you.
That's a
great. Thank you for taking my question.
Leslie, isn't that wonderful to hear that?
I love her. She's so sweet. And don't ever say only, honey. What you're doing is amazing.
Thanks for the call, Leslie.
You are an inspiration.
Thank you, and best of luck to you.
Bye, baby.
You too. Bye-bye, honey.
So people are listening to this show all over the world. If you want to watch us, you can watch us on Facebook right now and go to our page, Clean and Sober Radio, and we're going to try to get through all these people in about 3 minutes, but Ed McCash is watching. Louis Montana. Josie Tiano.
Cassinets.
Okay, thank you.
Boo-boo.
She says, hi, boo-boo.
Hi, boo-boo.
Sullivan Leslie is watching.
That was her.
Oh, that was her. Okay. Laura Story. Let's see. Kathy Forcellini is watching. Louis Montana says, good afternoon, everyone. I see Jackie. Congratulations on your 5 years. Let's see. Debbie Reynolds. Mark Sigmund's watching. I hope so. let me see. Mark Willing watching. Hey, buddy. We hope you're doing well. I miss him. Let's see who else.
Mike Burke.
Mike Burke.
Mike Brill. Two Mikes. And Frank Brightman.
Frank Brightman. Sylvia Shepherd. Mark Willick says, great news. Nice to see you back again, Jackie. I just got back from dialysis, so I'll catch you guys later. I want to tell you something. Mark Willing is one of the strongest people I have ever met. Jeffrey Ginsburg is watching. I'm assuming from Florida. Let's see who else. Wait, a lot of people are – I'm not repeating everybody,
but they're all
saying, you're a warrior, you're beautiful, you have helped us all. That's a really great feeling. Mark, what else you got there?
So, Steve Ruger.
Yeah.
I spent a couple nights on the streets and I said to myself, you have to go home. Go. It's powerful.
Powerful. Parapen Vija is watching. But in, oh man, Mark, I'm butchering these names. Bud Iono is watching.
That sounded right.
Did that sound right? Diana McDonald. There's a lot of people.
People from across the world. The crazy thing
is across
the world.
Yeah.
You know, we had somebody from the Maldives or Maldives.
Yeah. Nasir Mola, Dorothy Lay. We'll get to the rest later. It's a is it a testimony or a testament to you?
Testament.
And I got to tell you, I mean, go to some of the same meetings as Jackie, and she has such an inspiration to so many people. Just her celebrating tomorrow night, it's going to be a packed crowd, man, just coming out to see her 5 years.
Yeah.
Isn't it great?
I'm excited.
Absolutely.
We share the hope. We share the hope, man. Yeah. I love it.
We do have a caller on the line. We'll get to Josie when we come back. We're going to take a break right now. And when we do come back, guys, don't leave us. This story is just a wonderful, wonderful story about you, Jackie. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, this is Mark Stein from the classic rock band Vanilla Fudge. Keep on rocking, Alypso. Good luck to everybody and all the best.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
We are back with Jackie Phoebus, who's telling us her incredible story of being incarcerated 40 times, living on the streets. Let me ask something. Where did you get money when you were living on the streets?
So when I started using, I was the legal secretary. Like in the early 90s, pulling in like $1,000 a week, but I couldn't make it last me more the weekend. So my brilliant idea was, I'm going to stop being a legal secretary and waitress, because then I would have cash in hand every day. And so I was living in a bando in Camden, waitressing at a diner in Camden, and I did not leave the city for a while. But at some point, like, you just can't hold a job when you're using, because the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more is your job. And I shoplifted, hence the tons and tons of incarcerations. Because I would steal baby formula and then take it to these certain stores and resell it, and they would buy it, and then off I'd go.
We're very crafty, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Addicts are really smart people.
Didn't you almost get shot or something? Like somebody chased you out when you were shoplifting?
Oh, no. The lady chased me out with a hammer. At the Rite Aid. She just came out. I got out of the store with the stuff.
Yeah.
And I turned around and looked, and I was like, yeah, this lady's legit chasing me with a hammer. And I dove in the car and was like, go, go, go. But
Jackie,
yeah.
All through it, didn't you know it wasn't right?
Oh, of course I did. But I could not stop. I could not
stop. Did you ever see any of your old friends during this period of time who were living a, if you want to say, normal life? Maybe they were married, maybe they had kids. And you would see that, and it was just, it was traumatizing, right? Because I went through the same thing with people.
You know, my normal people, I really didn't see any of them when I was using because they didn't fit my life. But when I was homeless, and say I'd be out in the streets in the morning, I would watch the normies, like, going to work or taking their kids to school. And I would be like, you used to do that. Like, why can't you get back there? But the task seemed so overwhelming.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was just easier to get $10 and go do it back.
Yep. Mark, do you remember that? I remember that. The feeling so insignificant, such a loser. I got to get high, man. I can't even deal with it.
Yeah, I just remember so many times thinking to myself, I'm going to stop, you know, and I'm going to get better and all this. And then it just would not come to fruition.
Right.
You know, procrastination, pushing it off.
There was a book that came out when I got sober. It was called I'll Quit Tomorrow. Which never comes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we were just talking about that with cigarettes before the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, about how, you know, you push it off and you think that tomorrow or whatever. And So you were getting completely sick, I'm sure, when you didn't have your dope. And was that your biggest fears? That you hear everybody, heroin addicts, you know.
Why don't you just stop? Because I can't. Because I get physically sick. Like at the end of my – and I think – like my mom say, like she knows now, she has educated herself. But I think what like her and my siblings and stuff couldn't wrap their head around was like, why don't you just stop? Like I think they legitimately thought I was just out there getting high and having fun. And at the end, I was just trying not to be sick.
Incredible. Listen, Josie's been on hold.
Yes.
We almost forgot
totally
about her.
Forgot. Let's get her on. Josie,
hey, Josie.
You there?
Hi, everyone. Hi, guys.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, Boo Boo.
Hi, Boo Boo.
Where's that from? Where's Boo Boo come from?
I have no idea. We just started calling each other that.
He calls me Boo Boo, and that's my nickname now, Boo Boo.
That's nice. That's cute.
I'm sitting here on the beach in Cape May, and I'm thinking, what a wonderful life today. Like, listening to this radio show, listening to Jackie speak, and being on the beach.
Wow.
I think I could speak for everybody when I say that Jackie's recovery is very attractive. But you know what? I think we got to remember that Jackie is just not that person that just survived addiction, an active addiction, but she's also that person that works really, really hard to thrive in her recovery. And you know, that in itself is, you know, a blessing. Yeah, Jackie's a good woman. She's always helping people. Always, always, always helping people. She makes me want to be a better recovering addict. You know,
Josie, I'm listening to you and I'm watching Jackie. She's starting to tear up.
She works so hard at her recovery. You know,
and it's helped so many people, right?
Every day, like. When you hear the name Jackie Femus, you know that woman is helping someone every single day, multiple times a day. Seriously. I don't know how she does that. I say you work two jobs, you know, she's married, she has friends, and she's 2 feet in with recovery. And not just hers. You know, she's always helping somebody, always making sure somebody has a ride, always making sure somebody's staying clean, always reaching out to somebody. Like, yeah.
Josie, where did you meet Jackie?
I met her on Zoom during COVID.
Wow.
I met her and her husband.
Wow.
Yeah. And we built a relationship from there and always been friends. I think since she, right before she got married, you know, our relationship blossoms a little bit better. Mm-hmm.
It certainly is different kind of relationships when we're sober than when we were using, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we can have healthy relationships. Well, we can try to have healthy relationships. And when we don't, we're aware of our behaviors.
Right.
And we get to work on that today. That's the gift of recovery.
Amen.
We get to live this life. We get to work on our defects. We get to do this today without feeling like a piece of crap.
Right. How long you been sober?
7 years, October 21st.
Amazing.
And I got to say, I've had a lot of good years with my husband and my family, but this truly for me has been the best 7 years of my life.
That's right.
Wow.
Mentally and spiritually.
Great story.
The sun is shining. As soon as I said that, the sun came out.
There you go.
There you go. That's great. Josie, thank you for calling in. Really appreciate it.
Love you,
Josie.
Love you. Love
bye,
you, baby.
Guys. Bye, everybody.
See you.
Bye.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Boy, you got a lot of fans out there.
And she really does. I mean, I would say she's probably one of the most popular girls in the program. And it's because of your spiritual nature, you know, and some of the things that you went through. I remember one story that you were telling me about the, you know, when one of the houses got raided by guys with guns. Was that?
I was living on Mechanic Street. It was like a step above and a bando. Like other people lived there with me. Like we had running water.
Jesus.
And there were like 9 people downstairs getting high, and me and this other guy were upstairs, and I heard them. I heard them in the front yard. And then I heard the front door kick in, and I heard, and I went, that's a shotgun. I'm like, I'm out. And I stood there for a minute, and I could hear them downstairs because they thought we were selling drugs in the house, and we weren't. It was just a bunch of addicts living in a house. And they had everybody get down on their knees and put their hands behind their head. And I jumped out the second story window because I just remember thinking, my kids are not going to see me in the paper tomorrow. And I jumped out the second story window and I shattered every bone in my foot, but I got out of the house and we got the cops there, and they had to use tear gas to get the guys out because they would have probably killed everybody in the house because they were furious that it wasn't what they thought it was. But, like, the situations we put ourselves in when we're living that life, if the drugs don't kill you, the lifestyle will.
Absolutely.
Lou Montana.
Lou, what do you got to say for yourself?
How you doing, everybody?
What's hey, Lou.
Lou.
Congratulations. You know, I heard Josie share. I'm a friend of Josie, too, right? And I heard her say, Jackie's helping somebody all day long, every single day. And she said the magic words that I always say, I don't know how she does it. Really don't. You know, I'm talking, she's on the phone with 25 different people a day, all day long, right? I can't do that. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm too old or something, right? I stuff 5 or 6 people in the car, right? But I can't do it. She didn't get them to a meeting, but God, I don't know how she does it. I don't know where she gets the time, but she does it. She's highly energetic, and she's a pillar of the community. She really does help a lot of girls out, right? And I just wanted to say that I love you, Jackie.
I love you right? too, Lou.
You're doing a great job, and I'm not going to embarrass you today, all right?
I was waiting for it. I was prepared.
Listen, I got someone who wants to say hello.
I know. Hi, Adele.
Sweetheart, you're doing wonderful, and I'm really proud of you. You know that?
Thank you, baby.
I love you with all my heart, and you help everyone, and I'm very proud of you, doll.
Thank you,
know?
Boo-boo.
Keep up the great work like you always do, okay?
Okay. What time are you guys picking me up?
We are picking you up at, you told me 7:15.
That's right. I'm just checking to make sure you were paying attention. I love you.
Okay.
Mark, Gary, I'll see you. Have a good day. Yeah. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, Lou, thanks a lot, buddy. Thanks for the support.
See you guys.
All right, bye, hon.
Bye, baby. Bye-bye. You know, Lou helps a lot of people, too.
I know
he does not give himself enough credit. He never is alone in his car. He's forever getting people to meetings.
Jack Wiener's watching. Courtney Hawkins. I'm just going through this. We usually don't mention people this time, but there's so many. Deborah Baruch.
Yep, I know Deb.
Monica Lynn.
Hi, Monica.
Hey, girl. Okay, I'm going to butcher this beyond belief. Maf Azul Islam.
Sounds correct to me, Gary.
Is it?
Yeah. What do you guys think?
What, were you afraid to do it yourself?
It sounds right on.
Yeah. Boy, there's a lot.
Yeah, you got a lot of people on here. Yeah.
That's nice. I mean, you should, you know, I saw in you the emotions when you start hearing some of this stuff. Because a lot of it is when we were using, nobody said anything nice about us.
Nope. And I do not take compliments well. I don't know why. I just don't. I get embarrassed.
A lot of people like that. Mm. But you could give compliments, couldn't you?
Oh, they fly off my tongue.
Right, but but taking it, it's...
I struggle with that. My sponsor told me it's really very simple. She said, just say thank you.
Yeah,
just say thank you.
I know. 888-728-9941 is the number here. 888-728-9941. And I want to give another number out. If you're listening to the show or watching... and you're in trouble with addiction, there is a number to call. It's a national number from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline. It's 1-800-662-HELP, 1-800-662-HELP. It's a really important number. It should be on your refrigerator, just like poison control. And, Mark, you have another extremely important number.
Very important, 988, and that is the National Suicide Hotline. If you're having thoughts of hurting yourself, call that number. They will help you. There is hope, and one of the big things is somebody loses hope when they're suicidal. And, you know, call that number. Get some help today.
Yeah, and both those numbers are 24 hours a day.
Yes, 24 hours a day. And, you know, one of the things that we were talking about before the show was abusive relationships and the trauma in abusive relationships. Do you think that keeps a lot of women out there and men getting caught in these abusive relationships?
Absolutely. I was in a terrible one for like 4 or 5 years. And he would use my addiction against me. Oh, and my warrants, because he knew I wouldn't call the cops because I had warrants. But I wanted to get out so bad one night. I called the cops and myself and said, we're fighting here. We need the police. And they walked in and I said, I got four warrants. Lock me up. But then he bailed me out because that's how they are, you know. But yeah, women, they fall into these traps because, like, there's predators out there, right? And they know. They see you out there using, and then they suck you in, like, here, baby, I'll give you a free bag. And then next thing you know, you're in just this toxicity. And men go through it, too. Men can be victims, too, not just women.
Jackie, do you know Mark Willig?
I don't know why I know the name.
Because he's everywhere. Mark, okay. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I love his voice. How are you?
I'm great now that I hear this great woman with nothing but hope and promise. And that's what we need in recovery. We need strong women like you. Mm. And I'm sorry I'm not in your sponsee family or I'm not in your home group or anything, but one day I'll get there.
One day I'll get
to Sigmund's home group and then maybe he could take me to a hockey game one of these days.
Absolutely.
But listen, I just wanted to congratulate you on this milestone.
Thank you.
I mean, every day is a milestone.
That's
right. Every day we wake up on this side of the grass is a good day. And today is a good day for you and for everybody that shares the hope and the love and respect that we all have for you. And, you know, keep coming back and keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, we will all get another day.
That's right.
And I just wanted to say thank you for coming on. And love you guys.
Thank you.
You know, Mark, love you too, Mark.
Mark is such a strong person. He's going through tough times right now. Mm. But he's going to come out of it. And he is his attitude, his dedication, it's all uplifting.
Well, and here he is. He's going through multiple rounds every week of dialysis, and he's not calling to talk about himself. He's calling to talk about you.
Right.
And if that's not recovery right there.
Yeah, he's a special dude. Mark, we want to see your face in here one of these days.
I think he might be off.
I think he hung up.
Whatever you want.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, yes. Yes.
When somebody asks me to be in service, there's only one answer, and that's yes.
Yes.
All right, can you be here in 10 minutes?
He probably would.
Yeah, he would. He would figure it out. Mark, thanks for everything. We're all rooting for you.
We really are.
Love you lots, man.
Love you too,
love
brother.
You too, Mark.
Bye, Mark.
I'm just a squirrel trying to get a nut. I'm nothing special.
You're nuts, but have a great weekend, brother.
You too.
Okay, bye, Mark.
Good was man. He part of the pond?
No, not that I know of.
No, he's from Overbrook Park.
As they,
yeah,
no, pond dwellers. We were in Williamstown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We were country.
I do want to mention people because there's so many on here today, and I think people like to hear their names.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Kenyatta Petaway.
Sounds good.
Sounds right.
Right? Does that sound right?
That's
okay. Mark, from now on, you take the hard name.
Oh, come on. Come on. I've been loving this.
He teases me all the time because I can't pronounce people's names.
The worst was we have
Monica?
Mona McNally Picorni.
No, it's not Picorni.
It's not okay. We won't even bring this one up.
This is going on for
years.
For years.
She would call us and correct us and call us and correct us. And we just could not get it right.
We couldn't, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it fun that we can laugh about serious subject we're talking about? Your life was serious and it was bad. It's great now. But we can look back and say, whew.
We were just talking about that the other day, that like nothing was funny. Nothing was funny when we were using it or when I first got clean. But like I love to laugh today. I love to have a sense of humor. Because my husband's a funny dude. And when we first got together, I took everything he said so seriously. And I'd be like, is he making fun of me? Is he like
paranoid?
Totally paranoid, but not realizing I deserved to have a good man love me at that point because I wasn't there yet. So I questioned everything. Hi, husband. I love you.
Why did he stick with you?
I have no freaking clue. Oh, my God. I met him at a bus. He's the reason I came back to NA.
You met him at a bus stop?
I met him at a bus stop. I was going to the methadone clinic, and I was like, oh, I want to talk to this guy. And he had NA key tags down the side of his jeans. So I started talking to him about NA. I told him I was in the methadone clinic. I was trying to get off. And he was like, oh, you want to go to a meeting? And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, no. I haven't been to a meeting in 15 years. But I wanted to get to know the guy, so I went to a meeting. Yeah. And I walked in, and you're they right? were saying the preambles, yeah. and I knew I was where I was supposed to be, and I haven't found a good reason to leave yet.
Amazing. Wow.
We got one more listener that I wanted to mention. That's Carol O'Leary Palazic.
Let me tell you something yes. about her. She's a fabulous woman. Yeah. She's related to Joe Leary, who was related, I think it's sister. Who did a lot of work for me, was a great guy, and he left us way too soon.
Mm.
So, Carol, thanks for checking in with us. Great. We're going to take another break, I think. I just got to say, we will continue this conversation. If you want to talk to a legend, call 1-888-728-9941.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, is your addiction staring back at you? Too many times, that answer is yes. At Gaudenzia, we see you differently. We see you as a whole person, healthy and at peace, living beyond the stranglehold of drugs or alcohol. At Gaudenzia, we see a pathway with tools you can use to lead you to recovering the life you want to live, recovering the life you want to share with the family who loves you. At Gaudenzia, we see hope. And believe with the effective treatment we can offer, designed uniquely for you, within reach of where you are standing, you'll look into the mirror and see the potential for the fulfilling life that is in you. This time, you'll find your hope at Gaudenzia. It's spelled Gaudenzia. Call 833-976-4357. Again, it's 833-976-4357. Begin to recover your life through treatment at Gaudenzia today. Begin today.
Hi, this is Randy the Blaze Lurch. I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
We are back. Randy Lurch, I spoke to him this week. He was a former Philly pitcher. I just celebrated an anniversary.
Oh,
great, great guy.
Such a wonderful guy.
But Mark, let me tell you something. Judge Christopher Maddox is watching right
love
now.
Love him too. Yeah.
And he says, they're waiting for you outside. There's an outstanding warrant.
I think if we're at this table, the chances of an outstanding warrant would be much
slim
more likely with you, Jackie.
Nope, mine are clean.
You're clean,
I
right?
took care of all mine.
You're clean. You're
we've
clean.
Had shows where we've said stuff. Where, like I've told my old mailbox, putting an M80 in, and you're like, wow, is the statute of limitations passed?
Up on that,
because they're going to be like outside, you know?
I know. Me and somebody were just talking about that yesterday, another addict, like if we got caught for everything we did.
Oh my God.
That's right. I'd
still be in jail.
That's true. We got away with almost everything.
I mean, think of all the DUIs. I mean,
you could have had.
Oh my gosh.
Mark has an extensive criminal background career.
He
was jaywalking once in New York. He got arrested, and then he put explosives in a mailbox.
I throw M80s, and I am a lightweight. I had one DWAI.
What's DWAI?
Driving with ability impaired by alcohol, but it was really drugs. I was on mushrooms.
Okay.
It's not a pleasant experience, but we'll talk about that another time.
You can tell me in the car ride home.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jim Petrowski. Oh, what's
up,
buddy?
We were just talking about how awesome Jim is before the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy. All right. So tell me what happened to you and you said, I can't do this anymore. I got to get serious about treatment. And I got to stop all my nonsense.
So I remember I was walking through Camden one night by myself. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was walking by Cooper Hospital. And I literally dropped to my knees.
Uh-huh.
And I said, God, I cannot keep doing this. And that the next morning I wandered into the methadone clinic. I didn't know anything about it. I just knew people went there and got help. And I cut in front of the line, which I'm sure the people waiting to get their dose were thrilled about. And I went right up to the window and I was like, I want to join the methadone clinic. And the lady's like, doesn't work that way. You got to go call. And I'm like, well, can't I just make an appointment? I'm going to literally go outside and call you from my cell phone. And she said, no. And I turned around and walk away. And the lady at the other window was like, come here. She said, this never happens, but somebody just canceled. She said, I'm going to give you her spot.
Wow.
And I said, it's because I asked my higher power for help. Now, I am not a proponent of the methadone clinic. This is just part of my story. Mm-hmm. I stayed on it way too long.
Yep.
But I'm going to say this. My higher power put that man in my life. Because I don't know if I hadn't met Jose at that bus stop that day and just followed him back to the rooms, if I would have ever said to myself, you need to go back, right? So that's what I was starting to say. I walked back in and I went, yeah, like this is where you need to be. And it took me a while, but I detoxed myself off the methadone clinic. And last Sunday we had 5 years. So I've got 5 years clean. But if to be honest, I wouldn't say I have 5 years in recovery. Because at first I was just like, I stayed clean during COVID by the skin of my teeth. I couldn't deal with the Zoom. I like being in the live meetings, the hugs, the being able to look at people, you know. But I did it. But I really threw my program into high gear after COVID. And I started doing step work. And not everybody out there is going to know what I'm talking about if they're not in a program. But like if you are, like we give you these suggestions, get a sponsor, do step work. Like we're not talking, we didn't just make this stuff up. Like this is stuff that's been working since what, 1953?
Before that.
Yeah. So, you know, it works. But like when I came around, I was broken inside. Like we're filled with just that guilt, that shame, that remorse, that sludge that just weighs us down. And doing this step work is the only thing that got it out and freed me to be able to love myself and look at myself in the mirror again. Because I could not look at that girl I used to be. I hated that girl.
Jackie, if some people are listening now, I'm sure that are thinking about maybe I need to stop. Give us a little bit of words of advice that you would tell them they can do now to stop it, because we can stop it.
We can stop and you can get better. First of all, you're worth it, right? Like if you think you're not, you are. You are worth, your life is worth saving. There's 1-800 numbers you can call. Go to the hospital. Hey, there's police departments. Go to your local police department and tell them I'm an addict and I'm in trouble and I need help. I know the one in my hometown, if you go in and tell them that, they'll get you into a program.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, just don't ever think you're too beyond hope or you're too broken or you're too lost. Your life is worth saving.
Good words of advice. We're going to wrap up. I just want to mention once again, if you have nothing to do this weekend, Saturday, September 21st, the Rotunda, 4014 Walnut Street. This is an alcohol-free venue. There are two great groups going to be there, Flux Capacitor and The Adventures of Black Matt. For more information, for tickets, visit CircleDConcerts.com. Thank you, Jackie, for coming
Thanks,
back.
Jackie.
Thank you for
really
having
great.
Me.
Hey, for remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks for all the support that you give us each and every week.
To say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
to bring you down. Never had your shining eye. You don't need darkness to put your things right.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog, and I need you to help me take a bite out of crime. Counterfeit products are popping up everywhere. Fake sneakers, fake cosmetics, and even fake pills. Crooks are selling counterfeit versions of just about everything. Last year, billions of dollars worth of counterfeit products were sold in the U.S. Sure, it may seem like saving a few bucks on the things you want isn't a big deal, but counterfeits are usually made in unsafe conditions, potentially using hazardous and even lethal ingredients that could harm you and others. And the money you've paid, it goes right into the hands of criminals and may support child labor, drugs, and even gangs. Smells like big crime to me. So if you still think buying fake products is harmless, think again. And remember, if you don't know where the products came from, how could you know where the money goes? You're smart, buy smart. Go for real. Learn more at mcgruffpsa.org.